Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started? Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
And that would be me. I got here on time today, and Skype signed in kind of just in time. And plus, it really just kicked in at 10:03 for the show here. Welcome to Argonne. This is Bill Grant, your host. I am the Dreamer, but my show Dreamer is tomorrow. So this is Argonne. Used to be Dreamer. And now, either way, doesn't matter which way, you are on. We are at Revolution Radio, at revolution.radio, freedomslips.com. You don't have to put the freedom, yeah, at freedomslips.com. Okay, I need a drink. I already had a little bit, a few sips of this too. And it's not cacao. I'll have that later. I have both. I have like cocoa and cacao, kind of mixing it up. I want to stretch the cacao. You know, it's like superfood and it's like super expensive. So get all you can. I'm telling you, everybody, get all you can. I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do. Definitely going to pull out some of the notes I had last time. I'm going to see if Jamie McNichol is around. And let me see. Because he is, like, back in the circuit now. Everybody keeps losing their channels and then kind of reclaims them in one way or another. Like, so I don't know if he even has one at all. But, oops, sorry. A few messages. And might even just invite, I see J. Charles Parker is at least online. If he wants to join, he can join. And tomorrow, I'm probably going to have Noreen help and come back again. She wanted to. She could not make it. It was an important phone call, plus things you know, sometimes are normally in the background issues anyway. So she couldn't come back in time. She got on late last Sunday. And let's see, tomorrow she'll probably be on for at least an hour. And I think internet's pretty good. Let me double check. I think it might be a little spotty, but not like 2 weeks ago and so on. Let me see. B, not A. B. And now let's see. Maybe I should lower that. It sounds like I'm in a... I sound clear and loud, but there's always that. It's almost like an underwater background. It's almost like this is too good of a headset. It's a gamer headset. And sorry, folks. Took a dry, sudden cough. I can't help. It kind of happens when you're like Spider-Man. Well, I'm not Spider-Man. I kind of am. It's like a relative truth. You know, everything with me is relative. Not everything. That's a relative statement. But the spiders are back, people. It's not every day, but I told you they keep getting bigger. But some of the little ones are coming back, like some of the little black ones I just had to kill today. I wasn't sure what to do. He's running across something. It was kind of half dark. It's getting dark. It's already kind of sun was down. He was on a black thing. He could barely see. What is it? Like, is that one of those? I like the hoppers. I like the little hopper things. I let them live. And the little ones get in your bed easy, and the big ones, there's not as many of those. Actually, all the little ones went away for the most part. I killed them all, and a lot of them got eaten. And then I just had to slowly round up the bigger and bigger and bigger ones. And again, it's like they chase you and they come in pairs or like quads, you know, and every time there's like three spiders, every time there's like a set of two big ones, one large and then extra large, and then like just a medium, normal, kind of large anyway. This like instead of a doubling of a double, a lot of times a weird creature comes instead to fill in the second version of the... Like if there's gonna be if it looks like there's gonna be four spiders, it's usually three spiders and a weird bug or some exotic thing. Oh, like almost every time, like a centipede, a millipede, another centipede, a different thing, a weird beetle that glows, just a possum. This time, it happened again, and it was really cute. I love these things. We were talking about them with Crypt Rick. And cast not too long ago, as a matter of fact, salamander. And I seen them, probably the same one, sort of in the edge, in the leaves. Like there's a frame that holds the holding up in the carport, and it's like a metal frame that goes along the ground. And on the other side of that is the ground, like grass, because the carport metal panels curve out into the grass about 5 to 6 inches. At least four. So things crawl in and out that way. And one thing was a salamander months ago. And out from the same place, like I thought the spiders alone would eat the thing. The mice, the rats, the frog would eat it. Hell, I think the frog ate the tail off another lizard that came in yesterday. I mean, the toad, Bugsy. He's a big toad. Came back today again. He knows his way to the hole in the cover on the bottom. He crawls in. And, he was like chasing a new lizard. And the lizard came up. It was sort of like it was. He scared it in and up and over this bag on a block. It's like a tool bag. He's got no tail. So it's sort of like my other one. It might even be the same. It was like a smaller version of the other one, what I call Slick. He got no tail. Toad might have just ate it. Might have ate it right then and there. There's scuffling going on. Never seen that thing. He was running for his life. And Toad got his meal, I guess. Could have eaten the whole thing. You know? So, oh, yeah. The spider news. I know not everyone wants to hear about the spiders. But other people want to hear about the spiders. They were coming back. And they're running around looking for their last meals. It's cold at night. It's hot, still hot in the day. Cold at night. Not freezing. Not real bad. But, what am I sitting there? kind of half in the dark, sitting there in my chair, leaning back, having a coffee or something. I mean, like a decaf or cacao. Sitting there. No. And earlier that day, I seen my fly swatter under a bunch of stuff. Like, I have three of them off to the side of that chair. I was like, I knew I was going to need it. I'm going to need that. It was kind of mostly buried. You could see the bottom of it. It was like leaning sideways. You could see this swatter pot, the top left corner sticking out like an inch. I need that. I need that out and ready. I need it ready. Pulled it out, lifted it up, set it right up. And I forgot about it. No. It's still kind of early. It was only like, I don't even know if it was 10 o'clock. And lo and behold, in the distance, I suddenly see, like, I went to get up to do something, I think, or I was about to. I see some fuzzy object, dark fuzzy object. Am I seeing something wrong? Like, it's like a blurry, moving, it looks like a Brillo pad almost. In the dark, you know, not black, but brown shadow, just a shadow, blurry shadow. Dark brown, blurry shadow, man. It's like sticking out the corner at the top, at the far left where my bed starts, where my piles of stuff start, and then my pillow, and then my sort of bed coming towards my feet where I sit. It was like diagonal looking at it. And it happened again the same way, a lot of times, same way. Like, a lot of times I see these things, they see me. Like, it looks like they're coming right at me. I don't know if they know if I'm there or they're heading. They hear, like, see, they hear infrasound. They feel sound. They feel motion in the dirt. They feel it. They feel the vibrations. That's how they look. They're not always listening. The hair, I'm pretty sure the hairs all over them act like ears. Like it catches the vibration and sends them through their body to wherever their real ears are, or the bones or something. I'm not really sure anymore. But the thing's a big, I mean, I figured it couldn't be. You know, I had this little cricket. He always looks like a spider. It's a wild, one of the wild grasshopper sort of crickets. Brown. Always spread out. Looks just like a spider. I got to be careful. Like, what are you? And I almost got him again, like a few times. I had to double check. And I see this big blur far left. High up. They don't usually come from over there. They're usually along my pillow, but usually on the right side, not the left side where there's a big opening, kind of to the outside. And I put the lights under there to keep them back, keep the mice back at least. And man, things started moving around, so it was like kind of in the dark. I couldn't focus on it. And it was like at the top left point, I think highest point. And it came down, and it started booking, and it's like my pillow was like kind of leaning back. And that's gray silver right now. And I'm like, no, I stood up real quick to look. I had to focus. Like, what is it? Like, what the hell is that? Looks pretty big. I leaned in. Oh, it was a spider. He started booking right at me. He's diagonally coming straight up right over my pillow, right exactly in the center of my pillow, exactly, again, where I lay down and my face is up. That's why I wear a hat, a winter hat, in this freaking summer, okay? The thing was 3¼ inches wide. Had to be about three, a little more, actually. 3½-inch spider running over. You could see the fangs. They hang down. It's one of the kind that probably climbs up, makes the little pouches, and last one I felt bad for killing. Like, over my head, he's rotating around, comes back, rotates back, comes out, looks at me, rotates around, goes back outside. That was the last time. So, man, things booking it towards me. I'm like, grab my swatter. Immediately turned around, grabbed that thing. Whack, 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 whack. It was going over my bed. It was coming straight at me. I mean, things got like 8 eyes. I mean, it had to see me. What the hell is it? What was it running for? It wasn't even like 2 o'clock in the morning, like, or like after 11, 12, 1. So, I mean, like, bam, bam, I kept hitting it, but it wouldn't die. Went over the edge, went across the board, whacked it, kind of flipped up, and it ran. Well, I hit it again, and it flipped around, and finally it just stopped. Finally, the legs on it alone, I found the legs, it broke off. Legs alone were over like an inch and a half long. One leg. Look at the with the back legs and the same length in the front and back. That's an inch and a half, an inch and a half, and the body was like easily a half an inch. The body alone was a half an inch, or a little bit more than that. That's like 3 1/4 inch spider, or like almost 3 1/2. So that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. And a whole bunch of weird things happened, but I was so happy to find my little salamander. Comes crawling in. What do I see? I'm like, what is that? I see a dark object. Thinking, is that other? It looks too small. The same day, the toad scared in, maybe ate the tail off the other lizard. Now I'm calling him Stump and, what was I going to call him? I was going to call him some other weird name. But like something like, where was it? Spike. Might call him Spike because he doesn't have one anymore. Okay, that's kind of why. So it's like looking at this black object in the dark, kind of a little squiggly and long. It's like one of the slugs. The slug's been coming out and mating lately. And okay, I might be back. No, might have just disconnected again. And nothing there. Let me try this again. I might be on. Not sure if the sound was the sound of me dropping. Oh, okay, cool. I'll double check that in a minute again. Okay, so I am going to go into the Matrix. I'm going to definitely check on a few things. I'm going to check on some of the articles in Epic Times. I'm going to read a little bit about, I don't know, at least where you can, at least pointing to the fact that you can order UFO flying saucer stuff, homemade, how to build one kind of thing. You got to be careful because years ago, many, many years ago, and I'm pretty sure they were wrong, I spent a lot of time on it, exhausting myself on one version of gyroscopic propulsion about using in like a flying saucer kind of thing. And it was connected to, I'm pretty sure it was connected to, what's his name? What's the famous guy's name from England or London or whatever? It's basically MI6 and stuff. He's like Q. He is Q. He's one of the Qs. But I mean one of the original kinds of Qs from, what do you call it? Like James Bond and stuff. And Laithwaite. No, was it Laithwaite? Or was that somebody even older? I think it was Laithwaite. And by forcing gyros down in motion a certain way, blah, 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 it sort of caused a thrust upward, a reaction. I was reading some things that they were trying to sell many years ago, like 35 years ago or something. And it made some sense. I figured there'd be some kind of reflective diversion and not everything works the way we think it does for mysterious reasons, because particles aren't exactly particles. And there is science like Faraday disc stuff, paradox disc, that are not supposed to work. Damn it. And they do. See, my nasal passage is dried out. I don't hiccup until I get in here. I generally don't hiccup. And when I was a kid, I sort of made myself, I became a one hiccuper. That's it. One time. Same with sneezing. Once. Done. Hiccup. One hiccup. Done. No chronic hiccups. No chronic sneezing. And sometimes now, like I never really had to suddenly outburst, sudden sneeze, uncontrollably sneeze until like so many years recently. And I didn't really start to hiccup more than one time until recently. And things like that. But you know what? I need this drink. Hold on. But see, Laithwaite, see, there was a book called something like How to Build a Flying Saucer. And it had a lot of good information in it. It had Mach 2, Mach 1 version of a flying saucer, Mach 3, Mach 5. And that is how I do like to refer to them. And it had a lot of good points I was going to do. And it had things about how to build the pyramid. And it was one of those books that talked about some ether versions and sort of cymatic versions that people talk about even here. And basically everything except the one main thing, and it talked, you know, how to build the pyramids, megalithic construction. And again, how I refer to and tell you that all these so-called vortex spots and ley line convergence points are electrical nodes. And they talk about communication between pyramid to pyramid around the globe. There were communication hubs from one pyramid around the globe to the other, depending on how you receive the information. It's 100% fact. They're on electrical nodes. Just look up electrical nodes. I don't know how to explain it right now. It has a lot. It has to do with heating and not heating and resonant differences inside wires and stuff. But induction things and resistance stuff. So basically, it's kind of where electrostatic waves interfere with themselves as well. And because of the way the sun hits the earth and the earth is rotating and it's got a magnetic field and electrostatic is generally outward pushing, but steam is lighter than water, therefore it rises the highest. And since it's steam, it's positively charged. Therefore you have the higher, instead of electrons being at the very highest, free electrons surround the earth's dirt, but not so much in the air. But then the heavier yet lighter of the other atoms, lighter than water, rises easy because it's hot and because it's physically lighter. But it wouldn't rise if it wasn't lighter. Like, in other words, steam is when you overcharge water and it loses an electron, or it happens a lot. I don't even know exactly anymore. I don't remember so many things. It's not even funny. It's really scaring me. And I'm not going crazy, and I'm not, like, super losing my memory. I'm gaining a lot of my memory in many respects, actually, but just so many things I've never been able to get back to. Like, I've seen it once, totally absorbed, completely part of my life, moved ahead with it, incorporated it into theorizing and all kinds of knowledge, and one day it's gone. Or I just can't remember. I'm just not sure. Like spelling. I did great in spelling. I don't remember how to spell half of the freaking words anymore. I'm a better speller than a lot of people. Not really half. Damn it, sorry. So anyway, that's where you get the positive ionosphere from. But it's not just that, but a lot of charged positive particles in the upper atmosphere. And then you have the atmosphere, and then you have the ground where all the electrostatic negatively charged electron extra charge particles are on the surface of the planet, because inside the heat pushes electrostatic pressure outward just like in a wire. So free electrons and just the pressure, electrostatic pressure, pushes outward. So the most charge would be on the surface where it's free to also roam around and kind of jumps out, jumps back, jumps up and gets pulled back and continuously. So that's what Tesla had to do with and what he was working on. And that's why there are ley lines. Things like this are why we have ley lines, why there are electrostatic ground currents and just in the air above the ground currents, which are all clashing and merging. And the sun, if you look at how light affects, you know, look up how photocopy machines work having to do with electrostatics. Wherever the light hits, there's no electrostatics. Wait, am I thinking of that backwards? I'm pretty sure I'm thinking about it, right? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So light hits a spot in the page, it eliminates the electrostatic potential, or it reverses it. What does it do? Let me think. Either way, it would be like pushing the electron down and spreading it out and away from that, because it would actually kind of cause electrons to form, put electrons into things, charge them up, like photovoltaics in a way, could even be said, stated sort of like that. But because the energy is hitting it and it wants to spread out, it spreads out. it was kind of mysterious, and I think it still is a little mysterious, to be honest. I'm not sure anymore how it even works. And for a long time, they definitely did not know for sure how it works. It just did. So then you'd get ink sticking to parts of the paper and not others because of charge versus no charge, neutral, zero charge, right? So, or be like on the backside. It'd be like push it to the backside off of the top side or push it up. Well, it depends if the light's coming from up or down. But now you have the laser printers and all that. And things that use piezoelectric ink pushing, expanding, contracting little piezoelectric crystals, which pumps the ink in a little tiny, tiny dot wherever you want it to with electronic digital means. So it doesn't use that light method anymore. But this all has to do with flying saucers and Tesla. It's all related. See, these things have always been sort of a mystery and very well understood. So the sun hits the earth and does kind of the same thing. It does certain things like an electrostatic copy machine, the old-fashioned kind. And it's only on one side of the earth or wherever it's closest to, if that's what you believe. Damn it. Sort of a dry cough, folks. But that's what happens when you swallow spiders. When spiders crawl in your throat or whatever it was, when you're sleeping because you have to breathe, you have to take that mask off. When you wake up with the spider, like, kind of halfway down your throat, and you can't cough it out, and you don't try to swallow it. It ends up getting swallowed. Okay? I didn't breathe it in, though. And I hope it was a daddy long leg. Could have been a beetle. I don't know what the hell it was. That was one thing. It was like mornings ago. And there was no cough. There's no way to cough it. It wasn't like that kind of thing. It was a thing. It wasn't a way to do it. It was just, what? Stuck there. Probably it was like already dead or something. Oh, protein of the day, man. That's what happens when you're living outside. Pretty much homeless. So no donations this week. Thanks. I'm swallowing spiders, people. Help. And someday, if it goes through, if it works, I'll try to get what everybody really wants, like Patreon and all that. I only have the PayPal me right now. And so, my PayPal me link. Matter of fact, we're a donation station. The only way I'm going to be here is if the station is here. And all of your hosts, especially the ones you love, hopefully me, but I expect you love certain other people that are mostly like more positive than me, but I'm giving you better information to save yourself. You just don't realize it. Most of you don't realize it. It just kind of goes right over your head. I'm telling you the most important information you can know if you want to live. So stop tricking yourself. Stop going, oh, he's negative. I can't hear negative. That's stupid. That's unadvanced. That's not being an advanced soul or spirit. See, that's being squeamish. See, that's actually a negative survival trait. That's actually a negative spirit trait. You need to face hard facts. You need to face things you're afraid of. So stop saying you don't want to be afraid. The real key is to face what you're afraid of. When you keep saying, let's be positive, we're being positive. We're trying to teach you all the ways you can save yourself and as much civilization and people around you that you might even love the best we can. In other words, you have to be proactive in life. You know, evolution of society, civilization, people, personal spirit, it takes a long time. And the one thing you finally have to learn is you have to be completely responsible for the future and never, never give in to delusion. Never give in to self-delusions. I don't mean of grandeur. I mean that whole, you're being tricked. That whole you think being positive creates positivity. No. Instead of running away, instead of being scared and not handling the situation, what we tell you is be afraid or don't be afraid. Do your best to face what you're afraid of. Face it. Try to handle it. Find all the ways you can to handle it. Do the best you can for as long as you can, as many times as you can. Spread the news. Get everybody in on it eventually. And you'll go the furthest. You'll go the farthest. Me, I've been under attack. I've been under so much. Just one thing after the other. I did not make any mistakes. Of course, I'm not perfect, but I'm not in my situation because I made many critical mistakes of any kind. I'm under attack relentlessly, absurd things constantly for like 10 years. Okay, and occasionally on and off weird things in between before that. And just relentless, unexpected, sort of I did expect it anyway, but things that are just not that normal, out of the blue. And I still did what I planned on doing. I still unraveled all that I knew to unravel, be the key to saving civilization and myself and my friends. And yet, no matter what I did, no matter which way I would turn, things would still keep going awry. And keep creating new problems and new problems and new problems and just get back into a corner and whittle down one way or the other, regardless of how good it looks like you might come out of it. So being positive is facing fears and not overreacting or underreacting. And if I did that, I would have gave up a long time ago. See, that would have been overreacting. I would have been acting positive. It's okay. It's okay to lose everything you own and everything you ever worked for and all your notes to save civilization and everything people would want to know and stuff to, that you're going to make money off of. The only way I'm willing to survive in this world, believe me, I've worked. Work doesn't allow me to benefit from working. I already did it. I know. It's because of who I am. It's not because I'm you. It's not because I'm average. It's not because I'm normal. I am intentionally hindered by the damn planet. It'll never be enough money. It'll never, ever be enough. I had to do what I had to do and figure out what I had to figure out, and I did it. Through the adversity, I pushed through all the pain with super high integrity for ultra long time. Lots of pain, lots of loss. So I'm telling you to be positive. See, that was me being positive. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That is being positive. Positive isn't you'll win the lottery, angels will help you, you'll get by it, something will happen. No. That's coping mechanism stuff. Usually you become homeless or die or end up in like the hospital that way. You just stay poor that way until you die. The trick is to be as creative as you can and try to look for any option out as many times as you can as possible. Stretch things as long as possible. The best you can. Find a way, find a way, find a way. And I kept finding ways. It didn't matter how many times I found a new way to squeak out of a situation nobody would have made it to or through at all, would have gave up, would have never tried. Believe me, I'm telling you, it's not complaining. I'm trying to tell you, you can do it, but you have to give up a lot. You have to give up a lot. You have to start planning. You have to start spending money different on a survivalist kind of thinking. It's not thinking negative. See, so much is backwards. You've all been so psyoped, it's not funny. I can't fight the world. I can't help the world. That's just the rich people got you like just right over there. They've just got you all one way or the other, to one degree or the other. You caught up in the Q freaking business. You just can't see through it. You can't get over your fantasies. You got to get over it. See, to be a master, you're supposed to be a master of your emotions, a master of self-trickery. In other words, to not be tricked. Don't let people cause you to trick yourself. and don't be tricked by them. Don't be so gullible. Don't be so naive. It's a normal, known, look in the books. Hey, here's one tactic. Trick them. Oh, look, hey, look, number 35 says, you know, this is a war tactic. What can we do? Lie. Yeah, let's do that. Let's lie. All right, we can do that. Okay, number 101. Pretend you're one of the good guys. Oh, we can do that. Let's try that one. Yeah, you know, you're idiots. If you don't know, those are on the books. Like anyone in the army right now, any military, anyone knows these tricks. Every cop knows how many con artists are everywhere. Knows every trick, every psychological way to manipulate people. I'm not a con artist. And of course, they're not going to tell you that. But if you don't understand personality and character, you're effing screwed, man. If you don't know who I am and that I'm real, and if you don't know what I mean by real and you're thinking I'm talking like a Jew, Zionist talk, lawyer talk, no. Stop it. You're so damn gullible, you're always attracted to the enemy. Always attracted to the enemy instead of the good guy. Keep letting the good guy, you keep failing the good guys. You keep failing, like, well, the deadbeat dads keep failing their kids, and that's sort of what my dad did. Not entirely, but enough for me to be in this situation. Enough to have made my mother go spinning around the world trying to take care of two kids. Drove her freaking crazy. So anyway, back to UFO stuff and all that. So I'm going to look in Epic Times. I'm going to check in. All right, wait. I'm going to look. Get this stuff off the jar. Like, it's a little coffee jar. I peeled the label off. It's got that sticky stuff on my hand. Ooh, don't be thinking negative. All right, let me see. All right, I'm going to check any... Damn, the YouTube stuff. I might do YouTube, check YouTube stuff later anyway. All right, let me see what else. False nitrogen. Oh, man, I forgot some of the prophetic dreams. Some were military, stuff like that. One was a lot of flooding for cars trying to get in around, like, back roads and... like parking lots and was like what looked like a big kind of square 20-foot drop hole. A car, I think, car falls into, or a couple cars or something. People, like, where there used to be a road at a bend. That's coming for somebody who already did. Anyway, false nitrogen. That's a YouTube thing Bridget sent me. Rome recalls all assets to the Vatican within 30 days. Either way, that's bad. Doesn't matter how you look at it. Stop thinking Q. It's bad. It's not good. It's a bad sign. All right, the other thing is something I'd have to click on and watch. Okay, so I'm not going to do that. The other thing is there's no picture or words, and I've already read the other ones. All right, skip. So I'm going to go into Revolution Radio host chat, the host chat right now. Then I'm going to go in the Matrix. I couldn't get in on time. I was trying to. I was kind of early. Uh-oh. Oh, okay, somebody sneaking behind me. But let me see. Unusual Cafe in Adelaide, South Australia. Oh, Bubble Cap. Oh, that's pushing probably mask stuff. All right, let me see. Oh, man, this is way back. This is like 99 things ago. Cat stuff. Okay, skip the cat stuff. And Digital Dollar Despot. Okay, they're talking about Biden. I'll read that later. Philip Mantle something. Anyway, now I know the singer died. What's her name? I forgot her name now. I have to think about it. But Mr. Rowe sent something. Understanding Roswell, a book, and something from Mitch. All right, let me get down here. Breaking rioter storm presidential palace in Baghdad. See, everything's bad because it's a world in uprising. It's bad. It's not, we're taking over the government. No, you're not taking over the governments. Ukraine should be left alone, despite how corrupted it is, despite the fact that Hillary and Biden's and everybody's all in there up and about oil and stuff. They shouldn't be there. They shouldn't be doing what they're doing. But see, that's part of the game. They corrupt it. You know they corrupted it. Then it makes it plausible and like a good idea for like super Russian guy Vlad going and take it back. And we all hesitate. I don't know. Is he a good guy? Is he bad? He's Christian, right? I mean, no, he works for the Vatican, in a sense, you could say. If he's Christian, hey, what do you think they probably do in those Catholic churches up there that he allowed? He only allows Catholic churches now, or Orthodox. Orthodox. I used to know a woman. I was like e-dating, and she was sending me all pictures of the area, and it's like, what are you like? In other words, I asked what she was or whatever. Oh, or you know. Catholic, of course. Orthodox Catholic. Orthodox Church. Of course she had to say that. And I don't remember what happened, but like I didn't have time. I was trying to finalize my freaking $1 billion deal. $2 billion, actually. I think I was getting ready to go on trips, or I was. I think I lost that. I either gave up on her for some reason or whatever. It wasn't any way I wasn't going to go to Russia. I was thinking about it, but I wasn't going to be with a Catholic. And I like many Catholics. But, okay, anyway, reports of U.S. Embassy being evacuated as Baghdad's green, etc. Oh, that's from Mitch. And the rioters stuff I already read, but what I was going to get into a little negative, I didn't want to talk negative stuff with the woman coming by behind me. Okay, Biden's death warrant on American freedom. And that's Digital Dollar Despot. That's a YouTube thing from Mona. Hey, thank you, Mona. But those bubbles, like two geodesic, clear, see-through, like plexiglass, side-by-side, dual domes for the unusual cafe in Adelaide in South Australia. So in other words, you don't want to get COVID or monkeypox in there. Well, you know how to get monkeypox. Now I wasn't sure. Kind of forgot. Went off my radar for years. I was worried about the other diseases, actually, and the coming other pandemic stuff. And, all right. Sorry. But, try to go down. But there's going to be flooding. I got to remember the military stuff. What was the military government? Oh, like, I don't know what it was. I think what's coming is a lot of gangs are going to form. And they're not really bad gangs. In other words, as civilization breaks down, I was sort of part of this group. It's like mostly friends. A lot of people are going to be in like sort of gangs and cliques and a lot more. Big cliques, kind of. And not really bad. Not always. They're ready to fight. I mean, shoot, kill. A lot of street fighting, mostly with some knife fights, and then going up to like AKs and everything. But martial arts, a lot of martial arts stuff, but with the hesitancy, one group hesitating, people keep accusing. There's a lot of accusations. This is what's coming. This is what I see. I was part of this. I was part of this in my dreams. I was connected to something coming soon. And it's like part of the future. And that's like, me and other groups, we almost started to clash. There was clashing, but we all hesitated and we kind of listened to each other's, no, I didn't do that. We didn't do that. That didn't happen. I didn't hear it that way. And, all right. But they were going to like kill. Okay, hopefully I'm back. I don't know if I just heard the drop sound. I don't know if it literally cut out like 20 minutes ago. Damn, I was saying some kind of cool stuff. Not awesome. Things about the future and gangs and people meddling and starting rumors, keeping everybody fighting. And plus, I hope you heard about the flooding. It's going to be like some major like sinkhole. It's going to be like in a woody kind of area. Sort of behind the factory like I think a big brick or like a complex, some kind of factory, I think, or maybe it's a mall. It doesn't look like a mall. A big set of buildings, though. You have to kind of drive in the back of and sort of try to get around. Oh, and some Christmas stuff. It's coming for, like, Christmas time and a lot of snow. Oh, yeah. I don't know where that was, though. Anyway, that's the future. And I have to think about more stuff later. But let me see if I might be just me now. Is that... I still don't hear myself on beat. Well, let me redo that. Reset the player. It's kind of getting late. Hopefully you donated. We are a donation station. That means we need you to support the station entirely so the hosts have a platform to speak on to try to get the word out, whether it be about health, law, what's going on in the news, trying to expose a lie, especially political and biological, medical, stuff like that. And, you know, free speech means pretty much anything, almost anything. And if you believe something's a lie, it's a lie. It's not mis-medical information. It might be wrong, but it's what you believe in for whatever reason you believe it. And if you don't have counterintelligence, then people will just believe whatever they're told. And even if it's right 1,000 times in a row, the plan is to eventually get you the good one, the final day, the final lie, to finally lie to you once they've got you in their grips. Once they've got your attention and belief, and they keep your belief, they'll keep making themselves look good for the purpose of eventually throwing that giant lie out there that's going to kill you all. Half of you. 10% of you, whatever. Let me check this. Okay, so at least now I'm back there. Okay, so I'm in the host chat. I'm going to get into my mail so I can look at least some of the Epic Time stuff. I'm going to pull out, when I have it out already, my notebook. I still never got to the other piezoelectric active power company thing I was going to read. Might do that. Who knows? And whatever I didn't get off this page, I wrote notes on, which I can never read because I wrote it in pencil. Ghost something. David Cook. That was about when Solaris had a cool guest on. And I don't know what the hell the other stuff is. But I kind of needed to read off this notepad before this. This is like a notepad from no later than, well, like 94 through 96-ish, maybe 97. I don't know when I lived where. I can't figure it out, people. I moved so many times. Places I stayed at seemed so long. Yet it turned out generally there weren't even a year sometimes or months. Trying to figure certain things out. What the hell school I was at. I'm not sure. I know kind of most of it. But I know some things for certain, for certain instances. But anyway, I need to read off some of the important things off here. Let me find it. All right, here's some sketches. I was trying to figure out inertial propulsion, which I'll get back to gyroscopic propulsion. Because it has to do with Sandy Cade in that book, How to Build a Flying Saucer. And it talked about Lathwaite. And I forgot his first name. But a lot of people have seen... eventually his videos came on YouTube once we had YouTube. But I'm talking like the 80s when I knew, I heard of his name even before that. And so I'm looking at some of my notes on inertial propulsion, but this is from about the time I met Robert Cook. I'm looking at those. I'm still a little unsure about them. I have to figure out what I think I figured out as a kid, which I know I was trying to no later than about nine years old. I mean, I started when I was like 3, 4, 5, kind of really never got back to it till occasionally kept trying to figure it out. Then I seen Robert Cook things in like a science magazine. Really couldn't see what the hell it was. It really didn't know how it worked. But I had already figured out, came up with ideas. He came up with, like, all of them. At least that's just concepts, not was trying to figure out if they did or didn't work. I did not think. I seemed to conclude that some of what he thought did work or would work, I had already concluded would not work. But he, of course, did perfect most of his stuff. And his son, I believe his son also took his place. And then the son I wrote there, son I wrote there. I'm looking for a list and companies of the past to do health and maybe like unification principles, something we can hope that they're still there, they still exist in this notepad. I was trying to write down a bunch of stuff, and this is about the time I was dealing with the Satanist who was in the deep government, who understood how flying saucers worked and knew my field generator would work. And he's the one who added a few extra notes on gravity, anti-gravity, and told me, don't worry about rotating. I never planned on rotating it. It was just one of the possibilities. I had my field generator, and I never wanted to have it physically rotate. But I thought maybe I would have to, or it would help adjust things in some cases. And but maybe it did. Maybe, who knows, maybe it did need rotating. And I asked him. Once he's seen it, he's like, yeah, huh? That definitely was used in UFOs and anti-gravity and Philadelphia experiment, of which was the purpose. I made it. And, okay, I'm looking at some of my unification drawings. Okay, science. Oh, no, that's somebody else. Can't read that. Religion. Oh, the diversions. But the branch chain reactions of the from the pyramid. Down, I got my list here, and high adepts, ego, all that kind of talk. All right, we're almost there. But so that Satanist, he might be captured. He escaped to like Utah or something. The water purification, I already read to everybody. Hopefully someone looked it up, the ESP, E.S.P, like electrostatic precipitor, and to purify water. So that would be Robert and Irene Buck's system, who I did personally meet. See, I met a lot of these people in there personally, so I got the notes. I wanted to meet them again, and I've seen all the stuff working and drank some of their water. That's Infinite Christian Ministries. Ministries ends with T-R-I-E-S. At least that's how I wrote it. And you see, to call the number would used to be at least 1-605-594-6460. Area code 605-594-6460. Okay, skipping. Then there's like atom molecular chemistry, history of alchemy. I don't think I got to read those. Organic Communications by Tom Morton. Okay, these I didn't get to read. I need to read them before I pack them up and never hear about them again. I hope they're still alive and all that. I got the Rotating Brush Coherer. And that's a forerunner of what's called the Audion, which some people didn't know. That's R. James McCabe. Earth Frequency Oscillator. The Body Magnetic stuff. I got Biopulsar stuff. I got HARP stuff. All this from 95... probably 96 at the very latest. This is probably 95. Tesla Society. I was a member. And this I kind of already read. You know, I have right here a bunch of stuff on Steve Ellswick was what I forgot. I think I wrote this down wrong, but you might want to look it up. This could possibly be the actual spelling. Because the assistant editor to the magazine, the Tesla magazine, was was J.W. McGinnis, but J.W. McGinnis was the founder of the Tesla Society International, I think. All right, I'll get back to that. Atom molecular stuff, free energy stuff, flying saucer stuff. I will get to it. I promise. I'm going to do it. I'm getting in chat. I will see you in Chatsy. Okay, not Chatsy. Matrix. Donate all you can, folks.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
The original machine had a base plate of pre-famulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fam. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic marsal veins, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Argon with Bill Grant, only at Revolution Radio.
Okay, now I think it went in. Okay, I'll probably check the player. Anyway, this is Bill Grant, your host. I am back from the station promo. Hopefully you just donated. And this is Argon. Welcome back to Argon. I will be talking flying saucer stuff. I will be talking energy and other things and read you the places to look up those, I don't know, things from like the Tesla Society. Like when you see, when you go to places like events, you need to go to the events just for like all the cool books and things you could buy and health things and food and like, and the gadgets and electrical stuff. Not just, you know, and then they have shop, have extra, you know, you pay for the event, you see the guy on the stage and he'll show some of his gadgets and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But then you also sign up for shop, then you get more hands-on, you get longer talk, and like you meet all these people there, and they have all kinds of stuff. and okay, that should be fine. So I'm kind of in element matrix. Ooh, the NASA. I love balls. What? Oh, yeah. Oh, lefty. The mechanic. I don't know how long ago that was. Let me see what else. What can I look at quick? What can I read? Ooh, let me see. Mr. Rowe. Flippy. Popsicle Toes. Gino. Hey, Gino. You signed out. Nobody could hear me. I was trying to say hello and say hello to you a week or two ago and last week, a couple weeks ago or something like that. The damn internet was screwing with me. Who knows? They just make it up. They just give you crap stuff so that they can intentionally mess with it and occasionally, you know, slow people down like me to just reduce the numbers, make it more aggravating. Stuff like that. Ooh, Valerie Kell? Valerie Kelly? Oh, maybe. I don't know. Cool. Oh, yeah, cool. I'm on air. Thank you. Oh, yeah. Now I can read some of this. And, ooh, how's it? Mechanic. Oh, this is, okay, this is recent. Cool. All right. All right, I'm going to get to the flying saucer stuff. Because you don't want to be tricked. When you're reading stuff, it looks good. And it could be in the best book, filled with awesome stuff, right? But see, that's how the trick works. That's how they trick people into trying things, spending a lot of time and money and wasting time. And in a way I did, in a way I didn't. I had backup plans. I always do. I always had my own original concepts that I was going to try and eventually get to. But I want to exhaust certain things first. And I had a specific reason when I won't say I have to sell it. I must make money off it. I cannot just tell you when someday I have a life, if I have a home and sort of an office again and all that stuff. Oh, little flashbacks. Anyway, thank you, Valerie Kell. Valerie Kell. Not really. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, live on Studio B, Argon. Awesome. Yes, please donate. Yeah. Right. Thank you. I meant to say that, Valerie and Kelly, maybe, you know, my PayPal me, the little blue link, please hit just a dollar. I mean, I need like, I don't know, $4 a month right now. And, I may be completely hitting the road in a month or two. I can't leave my stuff behind until it showed up safe. When it really wasn't before, but it's getting there. And I need to start contacting anybody who maybe to travel and visit and meet place to place. And I'll teach you secret stuff. And in the future, whoever donates to me, honestly, I mean, it may take a year, it may take 2 years. If you're alive, you're not nuked or anything. I mean, what you give to me will be credits towards me when I start to sell my free energy notes and all kinds of stuff, like just all kinds of things, all kinds of cool necklaces and orgone stuff. I'll get to it all eventually, and I'll parlay everything, I'll snowball, I'll avalanche everything. But all right, I'm going off on a tangent, but it's my PayPal me link is in the schedule, so on my schedule slot under Argon and Dreamer, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to midnight both, is the little highlighted blue thing. And please, like a dollar, you know, like just a dollar from five people will cover me for a month for my basic needs. And I have to keep money going into a certain bank account or I lose both me and my mom's future account that she'll need in the future when I try to get her back. And get her a real home. Oh man, I wanted to save my sister. I wanted to save a whole bunch of people. I would have spent so much money. My mother deserved to finally get her dreams, and my sister had it so hard. And it's partly because of me. I came first, and I didn't ruin her life, but I mean, our lives were pretty hard, and me taking up too much space and everything, sometimes being negative, not real negative, she had it a lot worse. She took it hard and it wrecked her life. My sister may have an IQ higher than me. My sister's IQ, see, either my or my sister's IQ, one of ours was 150 or like 155, and the other one of us was 175. Now, it's supposed to be my sister, and I think I just didn't believe it. I think my mother messed it up, or I was preoccupied looking at all the gadgets and talking and asking questions, not taking the time limits on the IQ tests I took as a kid too serious, or just I was really engaged with everything. The guy was like a scientist, sort of like his basement or side room, big room full of like jars of frogs and all kinds, everything, all kinds of things lining just on shelves and bookcases, and just filled the whole room, all the walls to the ceiling, all kinds of cool scientific things. And the back, right along the window, is where I took that test. I remember the desk. Went back, I think, multiple times. I don't remember how many hours we had. And, but it's not about what's on the test. It's about what's not on the test. And okay, I'm going to skip that. Going to save my mom. But I'm going to get to the Lathe Weight stuff. I'm going to get to the How to Build UFO stuff. I will do it. I'm going to do it. Okay, real quick. I'm going to, anyway, the NASA I Love Balls thing had to do with that movie where they have to put the glasses on. Damn, what's the name of that? Everybody knows, I know. You can see the signs only if you put the glasses on thing with the Rowdy Piper. Oh, man, too bad he died. Anyway, atomolecular chemistry. This is stuff from, like, the Tesla Society stuff. When I went to the event and I was asked to join the secret space program, that kind of thing, partly because of what I knew, partly because of who I knew and who knew me, and probably had to do it like at least minimally two people, probably three now that I realized it yesterday. One of my friends, a particular super genius, he had what I would have loved, but it cost him creativity and fun and a lot of friends in a life. He had the academic side. He was a true genius, into everything I was into. Understood a lot of what I talked about. Couldn't believe my intuition. I was hardly educated compared to him. He had an education family, specifically about the future, specifically about science and art in a world of wonders. Anyway, okay. Atomolecular, I think I did read this. I'll read this real quick. Oh, and then the important one. I'll read the important one right now. The validation of low-energy nuclear reactions. And this is by mass spectroscopy. And this has to do with transmutation of the elements, cold fusion kind of stuff. How to convert one element into the other. And this had to do with, first of all, how it works, that it works, and that it confuses chemists and people looking for gold and other metals and stuff in the earth. So people would go, they have an idea, they believe, you know, someone found a little bit of gold, maybe a nugget, maybe a little bit of powder, a little speck in a rock or something. And they go, this looks like promising. Let's dig some stuff up and send some tests. Send this to the test people for prospects. It's for prospects of any kind, right, for mining. And they'd send it in, they'd get positive reaction. There's gold here. They go to dig everything out. There's no gold. But it had to do with how the test worked. I could be saying it in reverse, right? I think I'm saying that right. But it has to do with gravity and magnetism and crystallization and the divergence of all the forces and how it lines up certain elements. And it talks about, I think this is the same guy. Might be. Actually, it's probably not the same guy. It's related, though. Joe Champion, this was 95. This is the middle of 1995. I was supposed to go back to the Tesla conference and maybe be a speaker and or at least have a table. You got to meet everybody at the tables, people. That's where you have to go, at least. And this is what you find. Oh, okay, History of Alchemy is also Joe Champion. But it was Bruce Perot with the atom molecular chemistry. This is all related stuff. So this has to do with cold fusion. First, that fusion does work. And also transmutation, which has to do with gravity, anti-gravity, all the so-called four forces, in other words, and how to transform anything. So it has to do with the unification of all physics, finally being able to convert anything into anything else. And what does that ultimately mean? Time and space issues. It's the unified principle of all forces, all energies, all matter, all energy, and all force. So if you believed in warp space and hyperspace, that would be the connection. This is understanding exactly, this is the key to understanding exactly what matter and particles really are, how they form and how they disform. And so it would involve everything. Free energy, it would involve space travel, maybe teleportation, everything, right? So gravity is supposed to slow down time. That's not true. Not exactly. So there would be time travel, right? How to warp space if you believed it was a warp. It's not really a warp. When they say slow down time, it's actually they're saying it in reverse. This is what I discovered with the same friend who's a genius. And I forgot why I was talking about him, because of the other two people, me being asked to join the Space Force. Well, the secret government stuff, Black Ops stuff. And that had to do with my gyroscopic thing I was talking about. So anyway, this is important. All right. This is by Joe Champion from July 7th of 1995. Just look up Joe Champion. You know, Champion is C-H-A-M-P. Mm-hmm. And almost trying to fight hiccuping and stuff. Champion, you know, champ, and then ion. So I-O-N at the end, so champion. This is regular Joe. And History of Alchemy, so it's probably his book. Oh, Washington, Phoenix, Arizona, he's in. And Bruce Perot, so that's New Energy Horizons. So new as in N-U, okay? And he's in New Hampshire, was. That's Bruce A. Perot, and it's two R's, and it's like the Perot, the O part is like, you know, the alt, the A-U-L-T. A-U-L-T is how Perot ends. Maybe he does say Peralt. It might be. It might even be Peralta. So anyway, it's P-E-R-R for per, and then, oh, and then it's E-A-U-L-T for the end. So Bruce A. Perot, sort of you spell it out like it looks like Peralt. Spelled P-E-R-R-E-A-U-L-T. So New Energy Horizons, check that out. It might not exist anymore. I don't know. It might have died. They could have killed him or whatever. And New N-U, Energy, you know, E-A, I mean, energy is just normal energy. Like E-N-E-R-G-Y. If you don't know, it's G-Y. There's the G. And Horizons, like normal horizons with the Z-O-N-S on the end. So H-O-R for Horus. We get the word horizon because of the god Horus. Horus is normally spelled H-O-R-U-S. But this is like, you know, H-O-R-I-Z-O-N-S. I could read the whole other stuff like addresses and stuff. But I won't. All right, so skip. Get ahead, move ahead. I'm going to get to the gyroscopic trick. The trick of that book could have been that trick I'm talking about. All right, Organic Communications, Tom Morton. So it's Tom M. Morton, M-O-R-T-O-N, Missouri City, Texas. He's in Texas. And I don't know, so organic. I mean, check it out. I don't know what else. I mean, I can give you the address real quick. 2911. Del Monte Court. So Del Monte is, you know, three words, sort of as one. D-E-L-M-O-N-T-E, E at the end of Monte, like Monte. And not a Y, it's E. Court, C-O-U-R-T. Missouri City, M-I-S-S-O-U-R-I. City is city. Texas is T-X. But the zip code is 77. 459. All right, skip. Let me see what else. We get to everything else. Earth Frequency Oscillator. But the whole purpose of that book, the entire purpose of that book may have been a psyop, is my point. It got me thrown off. But I had a different version for trying to try that version. And I had just different versions all around altogether anyway. And all my backups, I never really got to. But I had an exact specific point, 2 points. And eventually I wanted to try it. And I built, not finished, but I built a big thing, the gold ball I talked about, with the gyros inside. It's like a disc of gyros. And I brought that with me to the Tesla show, the Tesla Society Symposium, and got a lot of attention, talked about propulsion of UFOs and stuff. But the whole book had to do with the Lathwaite type kind of version. If you take a gyro and you have it sideways in front of you, it's laying down like a wheel, and you got the axis or the axle going through left to right horizontally, right? You're looking at it, and it's like a wheel. You could be looking at it sideways, or you can be looking at the face, looking down the axle, but not standing up, spinning, and not falling kind. I'm not talking about that on the table. I'm talking about sideways. If that is sticking off like the side of something that tries to, let's say you set that in a disc, and now this is for many years now, it's been on YouTube. Other people have tried that method to a failure, and I know why it failed. I know the reason why it failed. It won't work, and it doesn't work. Lathwaite, when he did the magic stage act, it was a magic trick. It didn't have anything to do with lightning. Wait, it had to do with when things spin, they throw air off them. And I figured all this out from the stuff from paintings, the spin paintings at carnivals when I was 5. And then later at work and different things off tires and bike tires. So I figured out that anything that spins throws the air off it, like it throws mud off it and all that stuff. You need a rail guard, you need a guard. That has to do with flying saucer principles. Not the space kind, but flying in the air kind. That's why they all said they rotated. Some rotated because they had wings and propeller in a disc form that went around them, and some rotated and had no propellers whatsoever. And some of the Tesla versions, and others, if you were to set a bunch of gyros up, well, sticking up, pointing outward, like radially pointing out, but like wheels in a big circle, in a disc around your UFO hub or whatever, and you rotated all of them while they're rotating. So they're rotating, and you rotate the set of them, the circle of them. Supposedly, that would cause them to go up. And they do. But see, the only reason they go up is because they're throwing themselves up through the shaft connected to you, your spaceship, your spaceship's center or frame. It's throwing the frame down in order to throw itself up because it wants to tilt at a right angle. And it just wants to tilt. It doesn't want to go up. It only wants to, and you're trying to force it to turn one way, but it always throws everything at a 90-degree angle difference flip. It's not trying to go up or down or sideways or anything. It's just trying to flip. Nothing more than flip. And if something's at the end, either left or right, on its axis, its axle, along its axis, it's gonna push on it. And then if it, whatever it's pushing on, resists, well, then it's going to cause a reaction to push the gyro up. It's not a free anti-gravity thing. See, Lathwaite on his stage act, who was like MI6 or whatever, or more than that, he's one of the Q guys. He knew everything about electricity and everything, all mechanical stuff, everything. He went down it in sort of a way I did. And he made the stage act holding a gyro, spun it around. Oh, look how light it gets. And then some stuff outside. Just a magic trick. It's probably made of plastic, practically paper, right? It's spinning so fast it's throwing air off it. It lightens the weight. And they probably had strings, just like everything. They can make anything float. And they've been doing it for 100 years. Like every weekend. Every freaking year they got a magic thing going on and stuff like that. Peter Pan stuff. So he was just tricking everybody, and they put these in the UFO books, how to build a UFO. And so much good stuff, but the trick was to screw you over. See, it was subliminal. It was to throw you, all the good stuff was to throw you off and make you think, wow, this is how UFOs work. Garage mechanics can build it. Innovators can build it. Yeah, we can do that. We can rotate those things. And they showed it like a 45-degree flip. Like it started off at a 45-degree angle, tilting outwards, up and out, or something like that. And they show, you know, holding in gimbals as they rotate the outer frame inside the circular disc, hidden inside the saucer disc part around the dome, you know. And, of course, there'd be counter-reaction issues and all kinds of stuff I had to come up with against if it worked at all. And it didn't work, and it wouldn't work. And it flew me. I spent a lot of time and energy, kept going back to that kind of version, sort of that kind of version. I had all my other backup versions, and but it was important I did, because I still needed to try to figure out all kinds of contraptions and ways to came up with a whole bunch of stuff. All right, you know, I'm going to skip that for now. Wild Yams and DHEA. Oh, this is when DHEA was starting to be pretty big. And Wild, yeah, I think it's in there from Wild Yams. Wild Yams are awesome for you anyway, I'm pretty sure. Just yams are. I think they're alkaline. Pretty sure they are. And my mother used to love them. I used to love them. So Jameson, like. But it's Jamie Son, like I-E, and then Son. So it's Jamie, like J-A-M-I-E, Son. Not two words, just one word, but it's not like it's normally without the E, you know. It's not like Jameson, pharmacologist, and Beth Lay, like L-E-Y, like Leyline, Beth. Unlocking the Secrets of the Fountain of Youth, Natural Hormones, Celestial Suck, Anti-Aging, blah, 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 blah. G.G. Grains is the name of somebody or something. Where I'm looking for how to get in touch with these people. Look up just James Jameson with Beth Lay. James Jamie Son. Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, Son, S-O-N. James, pharmacologist. And let me see. This is like a whole address. I'm going to skip the address for now. It's in Colorado Springs, in fact. G dot, grains for some reason I wrote that. It's like the address. Anyway, mass fluoridation issues came from that time. Rise in cancer deaths. Gerald F. Judd, PhD. Judd, two Ds. And he's from Arizona. Findings by Dean Burke. Okay, who's now deceased. In other words, Burke is deceased. skip. Rotating brush coherer. I'm going to skip that. Earth Frequency Oscillator by Keith Johnson. Body Magnetic. A lot of you already heard about that. Burrow Payne, PhD. Payne is the name. Burrow, like B-U-R-Y-L. Payne is P-A-Y-N-E, PhD. Revised by Michael A. Tyborsky. So that's like Body Magnetic stuff. First generation. Build your own kind of stuff. Biopulsar. Applied. Kinesiology, and harp, you already know a lot about that. Skip. The brush coherer has to do with electricians and all that, I think. And I'm not going to go into that. Keeley Net. Look up the Keeley Net. This won't have the same address. I'm going to skip the address. Keeley, like K-E-E-L-Y, Net. And so a lot of it's free. It's pretty good. It's not as good as it used to be in a way. I used to have the things they send you in the mail. Hal Fox, Robert Bass, Cold Fusion, Joel McLean, Norm Mouton, Joel McLean again. That's magnetic resonance amplification. All right, so just look up Norm Mouton, Wu like two O's, T-O-N, you know, W-O-O-T-O-N, and Joel McLean for different stuff, M-R-A, Joel, J-O-E-L, McLean, like M-C, McLean with the C-C-L-A-I-N, resonance amplification stuff. Ooh, what are Texas. This guy writes patents. Hal Fox writes patents. I think it's in, no, Dr. Rob Bass writes patents, so probably might be able to look him up, might help. Cold Fusion Arena is Dr. Robert Bass, I think. Through Health, Bat Fox. So Fox, interesting word, Fox, right? Molder, Fox, Molder, I mean, he's the real Fox. H-A-L, Fox. And that's a Luciferian name, how do you know? So Robert Bass, B-A-S-S, Dr. Robert Bass, and Cold Fusion Arena, look him up. Okay, skipping ahead. Tesla Society stuff, you already know that. Skip. Joan was part of that. She might be a relative of mine. Oh, yeah, J.W. McGinnis was the vice president of his own other thing. All right, skip. Celebrity stuff, celebrity center. All right, I'm going to skip everything else. I don't think I'm going to need anything else from there. And, okay, let me see. Other things. Salamander. I caught the salamander. I grabbed it. Once I seen, I thought it was the I thought it was the new lizard chased by Bugsy, the big toad. Thought he was crawling out from under the dirt towards my boxes out from under the little wood stove. I was like, I don't know, it looks too dark. He looks a little smaller. His tail looks like it got sharpened. But it's shorter, like the other one. It looks, it goes to a point, but a messed up kind of point. Kind of messed up. What is that? I finally looked close. Oh, it is a salamander. So it looked like the same one from months ago. Out in between the frame. It got away on me. And I had sort of a little cool container for it. I grabbed it with my hand. He was fumbling around. And I just, I wasn't afraid. Hey, what am I afraid of? Just grabbed the whole thing. Just picked him up. Went and grabbed my little cage. It's sort of like a little tank. Sort of like a little display case. And I threw him in there. And it was like rotten food off to the side for the frog toad. And I grabbed some, you know, bugs. Tossed him in there. He ate him. He ate one. He started climbing. He didn't get out. I made a little hut for him. It was perfect. It was a perfect hut. Moist stuff inside, paper towels and everything, and food. And he went out. He sort of went under it. He'd go in it. I went to bed. I thought he'd be in there. Because he couldn't climb up when I seen him up the corner. He wasn't there in the morning, but hopefully he'll live. Hopefully it was the same one. All right, so that's it. Oh, I got to check Epic Times. Epoch Times. Stud and Stub. I need names from you guys. What did I write here? Oh, yeah, I'm in chat. Let me see if there's anything new. Nope, everybody's listening. How's it? Cool name. Popsicle Flippy. Bot, get the bot. Mr. Rowe. JW? Oh, John Wayne. Oh, yeah, cool. He's probably not on now, though. All right, so. All right, skip. And, I'm going to pull out my other folder, the other UFO stuff, and, oh man, yeah, the flood. Look out for those floods, people. It's going to be like, 3 feet of water for cars, or a little less, but really murky. I say, like, really murky, you can't see through it, like, brown water. And there's going to be extra holes, like sinkholes under them. People aren't going to be expecting that they've gone down before. And that's going to be the problem. Big 20-foot, kind of a square, choppy, with some rocky edges and muck at the bottom. That's what I saw. Anyway, okay, Sandy Kidd, he was the guy, this had to do with the gyroscopic propulsion for UFO stuff. And I played with, you know, I sort of knew how they were. I had an inherent understanding of the motions and why it didn't fall, like a spinning gyro wouldn't fall. And it had to do with straight lines, not circular ones, in my mind. And I mean a perfect straight line. Like, it's hard to explain what I mean. But and it had to do with water coming out of a hose and you trying to divert. The higher the pressure, the harder it is to divert the water, right? It hurt you eventually, you'd scrape your finger right off. Had to do with all that, all kinds of stuff. And like by the time I was 5 and 7 and 8 and stuff. So then that guy I talked about, my friend who had to do with the microwave stuff, who his brother died in the Navy, you know, they showed me a trick about a gyroscopic thing, the motor rotating, kind of seemed extra gravitational as opposed to anti-gravitational. Couldn't turn it, but it was like a trick when you try to lift it off the table. Might have been magnetic, could have been metal on the table, could have been spinning and inducing and doing the opposite of the normal repulsive induction kind of stuff. I'm not sure. But that had to do with me being interested in gyros. There had to be a way to make them be propulsive. I understood that it still had weight and all that, even though it wasn't falling, it still, the whole thing had its weight. And still the same gravitational weight. And so eventually, years later, Sandy, could you read this thing about lathe weight? And it's like in these catalogs about, hey, here's one thing you can buy about one possibility in how to build UFOs and propulsion of aliens and all that. Talked about lathe weight, little machine. It seemed like it was different than what we've seen on YouTube in the Magic Stage Act. And that wouldn't work. Like it wouldn't work exactly the way he showed us. So so then Sandy Kidd comes along and says he went to pick something up, and it knocked him on his ass, kind of hit him in the chest or something. It felt like it had to be propulsion you could get out of this big gyro or spinning object. So he made this a bunch of elaborate schemes. It kind of worked. In the end, I heard it didn't work. The only reason it worked at all, But it gave me some ideas, either way, still different types of ideas than he had. A different reason. I was going to use it a different way, or kind of a little similar, but not. It wasn't really the same. And turns out that the spinning was throwing the air off, and it was reducing weight. And it also can heat the air, so it's a little more buoyant because hot air rises, and that kind of, so there's a lot of friction. And who knows, maybe he was blown off. But I'm pretty sure it wouldn't work. And that was kind of the thing I saw in the How to Build a UFO book. And it's just like a little, not a big book, but it wasn't like a little paperback. It was bigger than like a normal paperback novel. It wasn't that thick, but it was like a half an inch thick or something. A little thicker than that. And I don't know, about 8 by 5 or 6, and it's kind of like a tan yellow, kind of had a pyramid on the front, I think. So, see, the whole thing, I think, was a psyop, because it was got people who, like me, saw those things, sort of like Sandy Kidd. Sandy Kidd is a man. The last name is with 2 D's. I'm pretty sure it's 2 D's. He was all in the eye of everybody for a while. Oh, I'm going to build a thing, it's going to reduce weight and stuff, and it didn't. So I was sort of going more down that line. I was really trying to disprove it or prove it before I get to my other stuff. It's like, well, if that already works, I mean, that's pretty cool and simple. And but I had other reasons why. I'm not going to say why. I can't tell you why. It's going to have to be patented and copyrighted kind of stuff. I'm going to have to sell it. Just a basic idea. It would hardly be even provable, but it was a really cool scientific thought. There was like a thought game. What do you call it? Not a game. It was like a thought thought exercise, a thought question, something like that. So beware when you buy these things. If you don't understand it, I mean, we've had gyroscopes around for a long time. They're a normal toy for all kids. In the free world-ish, free-ish world. And we know how they work. And I think there is a way. I'm not positive yet. Really, I can't really come to conclusions anymore the way I used to. I don't have all the forms in my head in motion properly. Like, why my original inertial propulsion, which was not gyroscopic, I could never settle on the motions. There's a lot of motions, sort of a lot of motions. It's kind of simple. Other people I knew already did all the other simpler stuff that looked kind of good. I wasn't sure about. Seemed like it might look like maybe it didn't work. I could see some reason why it wouldn't work. But others already, many did what I was trying to do. And one of them, I mean, I'm pretty sure it looked like I succeeded on like maybe three of them. But I really could never really, it's like you just, I could never go back to the nice flat versions. I had other versions that were kind of like bumpy, let's say, rounded. And that works. That's not gyroscopic, but it's like a spinning weight. It's a way to spin an imbalanced weight, like which would normally cause oscillation. Like it would be like a ball inside of a ball, like you draw a ball and it has a ball in it and like it's rotating, like the ball inside is going around the inside, throwing the big ball around it, around in a circle. They're throwing each other in a circle. One's preventing one from flying apart and the other's causing the other to try to, like it's wobbling while going through. That's like an imbalanced weight, right? So you could have an imbalanced disc. You have oscillation and vibration issues and work and mechanics and factories and all kinds of things that get quite violent and you got to stop them. You have to dampen them. You have to counteract them. Like when your tire gets wobbly and bang, 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 bang. You know, it's like you got to put a lead weight in the right spot. Or you could drill a hole in the right spot instead. And stuff like that. So like it's an imbalanced weight. If you know how to use an imbalanced weight, you can make something throw itself forward. I know how to do that. And a lot of people over the years did that. And there's a few ways. And I'm pretty sure I know the certain, like Robert Cook was one of the ones that succeeded. And now his son and then others. And, man, I got to get to the other stuff, though. Hold on. So in other words, we were all tricked. When you buy a book, make sure it's not. Look for the thing that could be the trick. And I think that book was, it might, I don't know, maybe the guy was just completely convinced. He didn't really know. It seemed plausible. And, yeah, you had the cockpit circle. You had the regular UFO. It showed, like, rivets. It was kind of cool looking in a simple kind of way, not an architect kind of way, but more like some of these drawings and engineering drawings in a way. Not really fantasy, but in a way, like it would look like you could do it in your garage. All right. Not like a military version, but something you would build. Or your dad or something, you know? Like show the gyros in there, the cut view, looking inside the saucer, the outer rim, it's rotating, it's floating on magnets. In a vacuum, oh, it's gimbaled. We can control the altitude and the tilt and all kinds of stuff. Stan Deyo, D-E-Y-O, is, however, correct. Could he be a shill? I doubt it. I don't think he is. I think he's right about everything, just about everything, almost everything. And he might even be right about the thing I'm not convinced. I've come up with those same, like the gravity shell theory. I can see there is gravity shell variations, but not to the extent and strength they're talking about. That's more like on a microscopic level kind of thing, which I'll talk about someday, and or cell. But that's the trick, folks. See, that whole book shows all kinds of cool, like how to build pyramids, what kind of megalith, like electric. We were all talking about healing centers and portal centers here and ley lines and teleportation and how to, you know, exit this world and enter another one through these pyramids and stuff and pyramid power and communication to the gods. And it's got all this cool stuff in it. That's probably all accurate except for one little weird thing. It has mechanical interactions of particles, some of my versions, you know, sort of a mechanical etheric stuff. All good stuff. And then you got this thing. People like Sandy Kidd and others took that and ran with it. The Red Lathwaite, who tricked everybody. They freaking spent hundreds or thousands of dollars and hours away from their wives and families and friends blowing their money for nothing. I wouldn't do that. I was trying to, I sort of did in a small level. But I spent a lot of, I was trying to do weird trick stuff with mine. Not that I built it, but I mean on paper, all kinds of weird extra stuff. But I need to get back, and I have gotten back towards all my other backups I had always planned on getting to. And that intelligent friend of mine probably looked down on me because he probably realized that version wouldn't work. Hey, Solaris in the house. Solaris, New Raven. Coming up next on Raven Stars Witching Hour. Let me know if you have any guests coming up. Solaris. Let me type that in. And hold on. Let me know about guests. Coming up. And I will say it on air like I'm doing now. And okay. All right. We get to this other thing. I do have my big spread, like, visor thing to look at stuff, magnifier thing, too. And there's all kinds of stuff I'm sure I forgot. All right, so jetpack patents. Okay, there's a whole bunch of things I'm going to go through kind of quick. Path of no resistance, I already talked about. Got the arc reactors in here. This is from years ago. All right, what can I read about this? All right, look up amazing patents. Incredible suppressed inventions. Suppressed is with two P's. And incredible is like I-B-L-E. Not incredible, it's incredible, right? So look up amazing patents. Look up incredible suppressed inventions. All kinds of cool stuff. Things to buy and stuff. Tesla things, jetpack things, UFO stuff. And like normal UFOs stuff, like airplane, circular wing craft things, like the Kawanda effect, Kawanda, it's like Kawanda. It's almost, it always reminds me of Anaconda and the Venturi effect and all kinds of stuff like that. Suction and blowing I talk about here and there, and boundary layer issues, savings and stuff. So incredible is INC, RE, D-I-B-L-E, suppressed is S-U-P-P, R-E, two S's, E-D, so two P's and two S's in suppressed, suppressed, you know, not suppressed, 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 inventions, inventions, I-N-V, E-N-T, ions, I-O-N-S, in other words, inventions. All right, this Jetpack Patents CD. The CD is a great collection of 55 various flying jetpack and flying platform patents. And then it goes on. Let me skip, though. Getting close to the end of the show. Please donate. Keep the show going. Keep the station alive. Please hit my PayPal me in the schedule links. And then it ends with some cool stuff. Each patent is represented by a graphic icon representing its design. Easy to click on. So that's like a CD kind of interaction thing. Looks pretty cool. It's got a little family inside a bubble. And some are like circular discs. Some are like with a sort of tail at the end, guide tail. More Tesla patents, a CD. And let me see. I got copies of these. This, I can't look inside. I'd have to take it apart to get inside. Then it goes on to, and my other stuff is Tesla Wardenclyffe Project Archives. All right, look up archives for things on Tesla stuff. So you got like Tesla's water pump, and that leads to Tesla like flying machines. It wasn't all anti-gravity. I mean, Tesla did things on ion for pop, electrostatics, and like people keep just assuming it's like. So always jumped to the conclusion it was anti-gravity or gravity. Later on, I think that it was. Later on, much later on, long before that, he invented Tesla water pumps, which linked to new propellers and propulsion, like circuit. Like if you spun, if you had a saucer in front of you, you had like a 30-foot saucer in front of you, whatever size, and you just simply spun the top half, just rotated the top surface, just totally flat disc, could be totally flat, could be curved, whatever, it would throw the air off it, and it would lose weight and fly. That's it. You're done. You're finished. you pass. Okay? But, you know, you'd have to have a counter reaction internally or something. And then there's other, all kinds of other stuff. Hey, Solaris. And Water Shaman. Hey, Solaris Blue Raven has got the Water Shaman joining her tonight. That's the next guest coming up in about 15 minutes. And that's Raven Star's Witching Hour, which is actually on the other channel. Not really channel. It's, ooh, cool. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at like a picture of him in a book or something. I wonder if I met, did I meet him? I don't, there's so many people I met at so many events and around the world, all kinds of people by accident over the years and as well. And just, but anyway, let me see, what was I looking at? Oh, I gotta click, let me click on that. You see what it says. And, oh, wait, no, that's not the water. I don't know if that's the Water Shaman. I don't know if this is a joke. 6 feet away from my gun mood. It's just a joke, okay? Look, I'm going to need you to stay 6 feet away from my good mood. Okay, so it's like a lefty or something with the tie-dye shirt on, old guy. Maybe it is the Water Shaman. I don't know. Maybe that's his joke. But, all right, let me get to this. Okay, look up TWP Archive. It's like all capital letters for the TWP. Tesla Disc Water Pump. So the water pumps were just like what I just described. They just, they're rotating discs. They just throw water out. It gets a little more, can get a little more complicated. Do the same thing with air, like I was talking about. When I was 5 years old, my mother had a new boyfriend since my dad left us. I seen him leave. And we had a cool new boyfriend. Kind of reminds me of, what's his name? Robert. Oh man, I can't think of his name. In California, everybody knows him. He kind of reminds me of my uncle Jim. And this guy's name was Jim. He was a Smith. He was the coolest guy. And he had the band over, and it might have been, I think probably was him that made me the train, the big train set in the, because one day they woke me up early, hey, come and look out. Might have been Christmas, I don't know. A big train set with a tunnel he made and fake grass and all the fake trees and stuff, electric train set. And the same one we saw the lightning come out of the cloud cube or set of cubes and strike the lightning at our home a bunch of times. But he might have been my uncle. I wonder if they were lying to me. Like, it was my dad's brother, in other words. I don't know. Anyway, oh, man, I put that down. So they got all kinds of, like, cool, like, jetpack things. Like, they're, like, things you strap to your back and or stand on and, like they're, like a little helicopter thing above you. Let me skip. But the other stuff has to do with the Tesla water pump. But you want to find out a lot of stuff about that. You go to the Project Archives. So the Wardenclyffe Archives, and that's Wardenclyffe is spelled WARDEN. But I think Cliff is with two Fs. I'm not sure if I'm looking at this right because this thing is curved. It is. It's not like a cliff, like hanging off a cliff. It's like CLYFFE. So the Tesla Wardenclyffe Project Archives. Check that stuff out. Tesla is just TESLA, like the band, which they named it after. Archives is ARCHIVEC. And a whole bunch of stuff. And I've got another copy. And, see, these are the years before I started going to the events and stuff. I had the 8th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo in Santa Clara, California. Everyone to a few of those. Not that one. I saved these. I wondered if I was ever going to go and be part of it and everything. Oh, Dean Haglund, X-Files, Gary Jones, Stargate, SG-1 was there, the banquet thing. So this was like This is like for 2006. And I was building up saving. I was saving these. They were sending me these ads. Oh, Sean David Morton. I would get to talk to him. Roger Lair was there. James Gilliland was at that one. Stanton Friedman. I met him. I think he's still alive. And a bunch of, like, Nick Begich, Daniel Brinkley, John Lair, David Sarita. Oh, I wanted to meet him. I don't know if I met him. Rob Simone, Freddie Silver, Ryan S. Wood, all kinds of cool, great people. And, of course, George Norrie. I met him and other ones. I had dinner and all that stuff with him. And, like, I was building up. Eventually, I got to go. So it's like that's the positive thing. I'm looking at, like, a Stirling engine. Look up Stirling engines. There's all kinds of perfect things of the past that would have perfected, practically perfected cars. Has to do with getting the most out of heat and cold, like I kind of keep talking about. They were like a perfect car motor, and they just never made them. And I forgot all the details and all that, but they're pretty cool, and had to do with eventually people like, I think, Dennis Lee having to do with extracting the most, to getting free energy out of stuff. Combining the best things with the other best stuff, having to do with refrigeration, coolants, and stuff, which is why they made illegal refrigerant coolants, having nothing to do with the environment or the air. It's because it produces free energy, not just free on. So free energy on. Superconducting electric power applications. Just look that up. All right, let me skip. Oh, man, superconducting racetrack coils here, giant ones. See, superconductivity was to go from city to city, between cities. They were the super cool, the wire, the special wire, and need to have no loss of electricity from any generator to the cities and the people in the cities. There's a procession thing. Skip. I think I'm at the end of that. I can put this book away. Because it's like good enough or read enough, you can just look up the rest. I don't know what that is. National, nothing. And then YouTube stuff. I'm putting this away. This had the relativity drive in it. It's like my notebook of copied things out of books and magazines over the years. One of them, the end of Wings and Wheels and all that. Now they have it in NASA, and they're showing that it works a little bit. It works. Oh, it definitely works. Oh, it's definitely propulsion. And the Chinese built their version. Oh, it definitely works. It definitely, you know, because they don't want you to make one. Oh, look, we got the patent ready. We already said we did it in public. We said it worked. And, you know, we built this little tin thing up there and 3 feet wide or whatever, pumped it with radio waves. And lo and behold, it just moves a little bit to the left for some reason. And here's a couple theories, maybe what, kind of mysterious, but it seems to work. Of course, it's not practical in any means, but they're going to claim they figured it out and all that. You're never going to be allowed to get anything in the real world, anything. No real inventions, no flying saucer stuff, no anti-gravity, no teleportation, no faster than light, no hyperspace, no anything whatsoever, period, end of story. They're always going to have a backup inventor in patents. Always. Oh, it's the end of the show. That means Solaris coming up next on Studio A. I meant to say, please donate. Please hit my PayPal me. Help me live, survive, and get stuff out. I will eventually get you everything. Flying saucers, you'll be able to build the real thing. I'm going to make a book about it. The real way to make flying saucer. All right, have a good night, folks. Donate to the station and free speech alive. Every night.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take.